OKEX taps Paxful to provide new fiat to crypto on-ramps. Mining Pool distributes $2.4 million transaction fee after flood of phony refund claims. Korea's central bank forms legal panel to advise on possible digital currency launch. Just launched Zigloo wants to make it stupid easy to buy crypto. JP Morgan analysts, Bitcoin is likely to survive as a speculative asset. Encrypted messaging site Privnote cloned to steal Bitcoin. Bitcoin price drop may be a bear trap, options market suggests. India's rumored crypto ban may be overblown, say industry pros. First mover, Cardano's no Ethereum killer yet, but it's winning in crypto markets. Now let's get started. OKEX taps Paxful to provide new fiat to crypto on-ramps. Crypto exchange OKEX is partnering with peer-to-peer marketplace Paxful to enable new fiat on-ramps for its customers. Paxful said in an emailed statement Monday the move would benefit its own users by providing better liquidity and ease of access. According to the statement, Paxful would work as a fiat to cryptocurrency ramp for OKEX and its services will allow users to buy Bitcoin with over 160 different national currencies, including the euro, pound sterling, Indian rupee and Thai baht. With this partnership, we hope to make crypto more accessible as a real-world payment method, said Ray Youssef, CEO and co-founder of Paxful, in the statement. According to Paxful, the partnership will also make it possible for users to access a variety of trading options on the OKEX platform, including option trading on OKEX's DEX platform. Through this partnership, we can reach more users in developing regions using Paxful's existing infrastructure and payment options, said OKEX CEO Jay Howe in the emailed statement. Regarding Paxful's immediate plan to push into new markets, co-founder Artur Shaybak said the firm was looking at several countries in Southeast Asia including Indonesia, Malaysia and Singapore. According to data gathered by analytics firm Useful Tulips, Paxful's trading volume in the Southeast Asia region has gained sharply over the last year. Although the firm's stated goal is to further financial inclusion using cryptocurrency, Shaybak also admits that regulations will always be a concern in a budding industry. As recently as Wednesday, Paxful had also announced via Twitter that it was discontinuing all transactions made through the state-owned Bank of Venezuela due to U.S. sanctions. Mining Pool distributes $2.4 million transaction fee after flood of phony refund claims. A mining pool has called time on the wait for an Ether whale to reach out after making a transaction with an unusually high fee worth in the millions of dollars last week. Bitfly, the company behind the Etherman pool, announced Monday it had opted to distribute a total of 10,668 ETH, now worth just under $2.4 million, in transaction fee to miners that were active at the time the transaction went through last Thursday. As the sender of the transaction has not contacted us after 4 days, we have made the final decision to distribute the TX fee to the miners of our pool, Bitfly tweeted. Given the amount involved, we believe 4 days is sufficient time for the sender to get in touch with us. At approximately 4 o'clock coordinated universal time on Thursday morning, a single address with a hefty ETH balance sent 350 ETH with the eye-popping fee worth $2.6 million at the time. That was the second such transaction in 2 days. The day before, the same wallet address sent a minuscule 0.55 ETH, then worth $133, with another fee, which was also worth $2.6 million, picked up by the China-based mining pool, Spark Pool. When the network's running smoothly, the average fee for an Ether transaction hovers around the 50 cents mark. Two transactions would, therefore, cost about $1. But in total this single wallet holder, who has not been identified, dished out over $5.2 million in fees for just these two transactions. Spark Pool, which has been through this before, froze the transaction to give the sender time to reach out and work on a deal to reclaim some of the transaction fees. After it happened again, less than a day later, Etherman followed suit and gave the sender a grace period to get in touch. But that hasn't happened. Bitfly said it had instead received requests from multiple people who claimed being the sender of this transaction, but none of them was able to produce a valid signature of the sending account. Perhaps flagging from the volume of phony requests, the company has ruled out freezing transaction fees like this ever again, regardless of how much the fee might be. In the future, we will no longer interfere in the payout of large TX fees, they tweeted. Our advertised payout policy is to always distribute the full block reward, and we will be sticking to that independent of the amount involved. Spark Pool still had its transaction frozen at press time and also had not heard from the sender. CoinDesk understands the pool will update miners sometime this week on how it will deal with its unusual fee. S. Korea's central bank forms legal panel to advise on possible digital currency launch. South Korea's central bank is moving ahead with research into digital currencies as it sets up a legal panel to advise on possible regulatory sticking points. Per an article in the Korea Times on Monday, the Bank of Korea (BOK) said the six-person panel, comprised of legal experts in the financial and IT sectors, as well as one specializing in fintech, would provide guidance and advice to the bank as it develops and tests a central bank digital currency (CBDC). We established the advisory group to discuss legal issues surrounding a CBDC and figure out which laws need to be revised or enacted for smooth progress in the BOK's possible issuance of digital currency, a BOK official told Korea Times. This is the next phase in the BOK's rapid reappraisal of CBDCs. In December, when it set up its task force to look into digital currencies, it said it was more to keep an eye on what other countries were doing rather than to create something themselves. But that changed in April when other countries including Japan and the US began moving faster than originally anticipated. Abandoning its wait-and-see approach, the BOK jumped into a 22-month pilot program to develop and test a new CBDC that could be used to replace physical cash. While the BOK is keeping its cards close to its chest, it has dropped a few hints. It appears the proposed CBDC, as it looks like now, would piggyback off the settlement systems they and other central banks use to enable high-value transfers between financial institutions. Last Friday, Bank of Korea Governor Lee Ju-yeol described it as noteworthy that central banks appeared to be developing digital payment systems on top of their real-time gross settlement systems (RTGS) interbank payment networks to reduce settlement risk. Digital transformation could move beyond the private sector to the central bank's payment and settlement system, Lee said, in a speech marking the BOK's 70th anniversary. As an institution responsible for ensuring the safety and efficiency of the payment and settlement system, the central bank needs to proactively respond to these changes. The currently ongoing research and development on central bank digital currency must be carried out as planned, he added. The BOK's newly convened legal team is believed to have met for the first time on Monday and will continue to do so until May 2021, at least. Just launched Zigloo wants to make it stupid easy to buy crypto. UK-based cryptocurrency platform Zigloo has launched, following a $5.25 million (US$6.6 million) seed round. As a starting point, the platform aims to painlessly put crypto in the hands of consumers. Announced Monday, Zigloo allows users to exchange GBP for Bitcoin, BTC, Ether, ETH, Litecoin, LTC, and Bitcoin Cash, BCH, with more fiat currencies to be added and a debit card coming in July or August. Zigloo is the brainchild of Mark Hipperson, co-founder and CTO of UK-based Starling Bank, one of a crop of so-called challenger banks that took on the incumbents with sleeker, more intuitive and transparent services. Things have changed since 2015 when all the challengers entered the market, though, said Hipperson. In 2020, we think the 25-45 age demographic will want easy, safe access to crypto, he said. Only about 1% of people go to the large platforms to buy crypto, and we think we can do better, and perhaps get them better prices as well. The marketplace for apps that offer crypto is heating up. For instance, Square, the fintech unicorn launched by Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, rolled out Bitcoin purchases in mid-2018 and recently reported Bitcoin revenues of $306 million on its Cash App service. In Europe, London-based Revolut, which recently raised $500 million, valuing the platform at $5.5 billion, allows users to buy cryptocurrencies sourced from the Luxembourg-based Bitstamp exchange. Zyglus' original plan was to launch with 5 major exchanges, but for now it's connecting to 2, both of which Hipperson declined to name. The startup has had to adapt its go-to-market plans in light of COVID-19, he said. More exchanges will be added in the coming weeks, he added. Part of Zyglus' secret sauce involves routing requests to find consumers the best deal. For example, if the best price for Bitcoin happens to be in dollars on Kraken, the service converts fiat and sources the deal on that exchange. The forthcoming debit card has MasterCard as a scheme partner and Global Processing Services as Zyglus' payment processor. The seed round was sourced from high-net-worth individuals and friends, but no VCs, Hipperson said. In terms of fiat, Zyglus plans to add currencies based upon customer demand. "I'd expect we would be at 15 currencies by the end of the year," said Hipperson. JP Morgan analysts, Bitcoin is likely to survive as a speculative asset. Bitcoin proved itself a resilient asset, if not a stable or useful currency, during March's global financial meltdown, according to analysts at one of the world's largest investment banks. In a note to investor clients circulated June 11 and obtained by CoinDesk, JP Morgan Chase & Co., analysts described how Bitcoin has shifted from a fairly uncorrelated asset to one whose price more closely tracks traditional stocks. Though correlations were modest and mostly mean reverting around zero for much of the past couple of years, in recent months they have moved sharply higher in some cases, equities, and lower in others, US dollar, gold, wrote the team of strategists led by Joshua Younger. The analysts, who normally cover bonds, noted Bitcoin's success in outperforming traditional assets in March on a volatility-adjusted basis. The report also found that liquidity on major Bitcoin exchanges was, surprisingly, more resilient than for traditional assets such as equities, gold, U.S. Treasury bonds and foreign exchange. The results of their analysis suggest that Bitcoin saw among the most severe drops in liquidity around the peak of the crisis in March, but that disruption was cured much faster than other asset classes, the researchers wrote. At this point, Bitcoin market depth is above its one-year trailing average, while liquidity in more traditional asset classes has yet to recover. Stablecoins, whose values are generally pegged to government currencies, got a brief mention and were described as relatively unscathed by the March turbulence. From March 2-23, the S&P 500 plunged 29% as investors looked to cash out amid increasing concerns about the coronavirus. The JP Morgan analysts reckoned that cryptocurrencies successfully passed their first stress test during this period despite volatile price action. During the March panic, crypto valuations did not diverge all that much from their intrinsic values, showing little flight to liquidity within the asset class, the analysts wrote. While the market structure for crypto during this period was more resilient than its traditional counterparts, according to the report, Bitcoin did not quite live up to its reputation in some corners as a port in a storm. There is little evidence that Bitcoin and others served as a safe haven, i.e., digital gold. Rather, its value appears to have been highly correlated with risky assets like equities, the report concluded. This all likely points to the continued survival of the asset class, but likely still more as a vehicle for speculation than as a medium of exchange or store of value. While that may sound like faint praise, the analyst's assessment differs sharply from past comments by JP Morgan's chairman and CEO, Jamie Dimon, who dismissed Bitcoin as a fraud around the height of the 2017 bull market. During the subsequent crypto winter, financial services giants such as Fidelity and ICE began laying the groundwork for potential institutional investment in the asset class. JP Morgan Chase has been experimenting with blockchain technology since 2016, and it recently began banking two of the largest U.S. crypto exchanges, the megabank's first clients in the sector. Encrypted messaging site Privnote cloned to steal Bitcoin. Privnote, a free web service that lets users send encrypted messages that self-destruct once read, has been copied with the reported aim of redirecting users' Bitcoin to criminals. In a Sunday post on cybersecurity blog Krebsen Security, journalist Brian Krebs warned users of a phishing scam that lures unsuspecting victims to a near-identical version of the Privnote.com website known as Privnotes.com. However, the fake site doesn't fully encrypt messages, as Krebs discovered in tests, and can read and/or modify all messages sent by users. Just as worrying, it contains a script that hunts out messages containing Bitcoin addresses and changes the original address into the bad actor's own address in the sent message. This would mean any funds sent would arrive at the Bitcoin address owned by the criminal, not the one intended by the message sender. Any messages containing Bitcoin addresses will be automatically altered to include a different Bitcoin address, as long as the internet addresses of the sender and receiver of the message are not the same, Krebs said in the post. Until recently, I couldn't quite work out what Privnotes was up to, but today it became crystal clear, he said. Krebs explained he had been notified by the owners of Privnote.com that someone had built a clone version of their site and that it was tricking users of the legitimate site. It's not hard to see why. Privnotes.com is confusingly similar in name and appearance to the real thing, and comes up second in Google search results for the term Privnote. Also, anyone who mistakenly types Privnotes into Google search may see at the top of the results a misleading paid ad for Privnote that actually leads to Privnotes.com, Krebs wrote. A quick Google search by CoinDesk verified this finding. Making the scam harder to spot, the self-destructing nature of these messages means victims are unable to go back and check on the Bitcoin addresses the script alters. They are sent, read, and deleted. According to Allison Nixon, chief research officer at Unit 221B, who helped identify and test the phishing scam, said the script appears to only alter the first instance of a Bitcoin address if it's repeated within a message. The type of people using Privnote aren't the type of people who are going to send that Bitcoin wallet any other way for verification purposes, Nixon said in the post. It's a pretty smart scam. Bitcoin-related scams have been on the rise in recent months, particularly with concerns relating to the coronavirus pandemic. UK residents were warned in late March that scams were being used to exploit fear and uncertainty through text messages and emails posing as an official health organization. Even if you never use or plan to use the legitimate encrypted message service Privnote.com, this scam is a great reminder of why it pays to be extra careful about using search engines to find sites that you plan to entrust with sensitive data, Krebs said. Bitcoin price drop may be a bear trap, options market suggests. View, Bitcoin's options market suggests Monday's price drop could be short-lived. However, the cryptocurrency remains vulnerable to a sell-off in stocks and increased miner hoarding is a sign the market lacks strength. Bitcoin is feeling the pull of gravity on Monday alongside losses in the traditional markets. At press time, Bitcoin is changing hands near $9,080, representing a 2.7% decline on the day. Prices hit a three-week low of $8,910 during the early European trading hours, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. Meanwhile, futures tied to the S&P 500 are down over 2.5% and major Asian and European equity market indices are in the red, apparently over fears of a second wave of coronavirus infections in China. The decline in Bitcoin prices, however, could be short-lived, options market data suggests. While Bitcoin looks to be tracking equities lower, the top cryptocurrencies put call volume ratio has risen to three-month highs. At 1.79, the ratio currently stands at the highest value since the market's crash on March 12, according to data provided by crypto derivatives research firm Skew. The put-call volume ratio is an indicator of relative trading volumes of put options, bearish bets, to call options, bullish bets. To put it another way, trading volume in put options has been significantly higher than that in calls. A put-call ratio above 1 is considered to be an indicator of a sell-off while a put-call ratio below 1 is an opportunity to buy, as per Investopedia. However, when the ratio gets too high, extreme bearishness, the market is considered to be ready for a reversal higher, and when the ratio is too low, the market is considered close to topping out. In Bitcoin's case, a reading above 1.7 could be considered too high. In the past, the ratio has breached that level only 2 times. Further, on both occasions, prices bottomed out on the same day or the following day. The put-call volume ratio rose to a high of 1.89 on March 12, when the cryptocurrency fell by nearly 40%. On the following day, prices bottomed out at $3,867. Similarly, the cryptocurrency bottomed out near $6,500 in mid-December with the put-call ratio rising to levels around 2.00. As such, the latest reading of 1.79 could be considered an advance warning of an impending bear trap more so, as the put-call open interest ratio, which measures the number of open put options relative to open call options, recently hit a 14-month low of 0.40. The divergence between the put-call volume and the decreasing put-call open interest implies that a lot of the put positions have been closed out on profit-taking, according to Chris Thomas, head of digital assets at SwissQuote Bank. Validating Thomas' argument is the recent decline in the one-month put-call skew from 9.4% to 6.3%. The put-call skew measures the price of puts relative to that of calls. The decline, therefore, represents a recovery in demand for bullish call options. Meanwhile, the 3- and 6-month skews are also hovering in the negative territory, implying stronger demand for call options expiring in the September and December expiry contracts. That said, options market positioning is known to change quickly and the cryptocurrency remains vulnerable to potential deeper sell-off in the equity markets. The key thing to watch over the next few weeks is the COVID-related equities sell-off. If markets react very negatively towards the increased COVID cases, we may see more panic which could also pull Bitcoin lower, said Thomas. In addition, Bitcoin's network statistics are painting a bearish picture and the cryptocurrency's fair value looks to be below $7,000, according to Atlantic House fund manager and ByteTree founder Charlie Morris. Miners, in particular, have accumulated inventory over the past 7 days, selling less coins than they generated. Miners often hoard coins when they feel the market lacks the strength to absorb further sales, as discussed earlier this month. India's rumored crypto ban may be overblown, say industry pros. Rumors that India might be considering a new ban on crypto may be premature, according to exchange founders and startup CEOs working in the sector. Indian news site The Economic Times created a stir Friday by suggesting lawmakers in India, where the Supreme Court overturned a punitive banking ban from the Reserve Bank of India (RBI) only 4 months ago, were planning on slapping a new ban on crypto companies. The article, titled With a Law, India Plans Lasting Ban on Crypto, cited one unnamed senior government official who told The Economic Times, a note, presumably on crypto, has been moved by the finance ministry for interministerial consultations. The article doesn't provide any information on what the note could be but says it was spurred on by the Supreme Court ruling, which allowed crypto exchanges to finally access banking services after nearly 2 years stuck in the wilderness. The article said the government could lean on a previous government draft law, from July 2019, that proposed all forms of cryptocurrency be banned, with anyone caught holding them facing up a fine and up to 10 years imprisonment. But is there any substance to this? Well, the report in question relates to one published by a government panel, chaired by former Economic Affairs Secretary Subhash Chandra Garg. While the report recognizes blockchain technology as an important and innovative new technology, it notes, with serious concern, that the use of cryptocurrencies in India is mushrooming at an alarming rate. Highlighting that many crypto assets don't have any intrinsic value in supporting the RBI ban, the report concludes, the committee has recommended a law banning the cryptocurrencies in India and criminalizing carrying on any activities connected with cryptocurrencies in India. The only exception, they say, would be a digital currency issued by the state itself. Speaking to CoinDesk, Nishal Shetty, the founder and CEO of WazirX, a local exchange acquired by Binance late last year, said a blanket ban on crypto wasn't what he was seeing. This is all leaked information, Shetty said. There is movement for sure, but no one has been able to get clarity on whether it specifically talks about a ban, or whether it talks about just moving forward with regulation. There are a lot of assumptions. Based on his own government sources, Shetty said he believes the finance ministry is consulting with other government departments to determine what the next regulatory step should be. I've personally met people in government, right, ministers in parliament, and what I've seen is they've been very positive about regulating, Shetty said. Some of them have been very vocal that a ban is not the solution because they understand technology. They understand that banning a technology is not a solution. The original draft bill from the GARG committee, which has long since been wound up, is still floating in the finance ministry, and Shetty agrees it could form part of the default content when determining how to move forward with crypto regulation. Someone from the finance ministry has proposed that they should consider looking into cryptocurrencies and figuring out what to do, either to ban it, or to regulate it, Shetty said, as the lifting of the RBI ban has made this a priority for officials. The government wants to see progress and regulations, he added. But, he points out, the idea of reaching out to other departments is in order to take in other viewpoints. Citing Bloomberg Quint's appraisal of the note, Shetty highlighted, if in any way, they, the finance ministry, get pushback that a ban is not the right way approach, then they would set up another committee, which would explore crypto regulation. I see this as a positive step, he continued. There is no clarity in India today. It's a good thing that someone is taking the initiative. Shetty's thoughts have been echoed elsewhere. A spokesperson for the Bangalore-based exchange CoinSwitch said, the report has no mention of the particular government body responsible for such actions or contains quotes from reliable sources. As such, there is a lack of clarity, and until further details reveal, we would carefully monitor the situation. Similarly, Sumit Gupta, the co-founder and CEO of CoinDCX, one of the country's largest exchanges, told CoinDesk in an email that reconsidering past bills is likely part of the process of forming clearer regulations around the use of cryptocurrencies within India. Gupta noted the lifting of the RBI ban has led to record trading volumes and user adoption, calling recent growth in the sector unprecedented. Cointelegraph reported earlier this week there has been a flurry of new exchanges launching in India, as well as a wave of outside investment from global players, including OKEX and Binance. Given the previous open-mindedness of government officials and regulators in the Supreme Court case, where they were willing to engage with cryptocurrency sector leaders in dialogue about the future of the industry, we are confident that a similarly communicative approach will be taken in making this decision, Gupta said. Among some of the existing industry players in India's crypto scene, a consensus is building around starting more formal dialogues with officials. There's already an active crypto-related trade body within the Internet and Mobile Association of India, which helped challenge the RBI ban. Shetty said Wazir X was looking at creating a self-regulatory framework. We have to show our government on why we are already practicing KYC, know your customer verification, and all the standard practices in India as exchanges, he said. I think a formal regulatory note from us would be helpful in going in the right direction. CoinDesk reached out to the India's finance ministry for comment but did not receive a response by press time. First mover, Cardano's no Ethereum killer yet, but it's winning in crypto markets. As Ethereum pushes slowly toward a new type of blockchain technology that some cryptocurrency experts predict could represent the future of decentralized finance, the upstart competitor Cardano is getting ready to go live. And Cardano's digital token, ADA, is soaring this year in digital asset markets on speculation the project's early embrace of a proof-of-stake blockchain might put it in a stronger position to challenge the much larger Ethereum network. Prices for ADA have climbed over 120% this year, the second best performance among digital assets with a market value of at least $1 billion. It's trouncing the 80% year-to-date gains for Ether, ETH, the Ethereum network's native cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is up 31% in 2020. The goal for Cardano, similar to Ethereum's, is to build a massive, decentralized computing network that millions of people, businesses and governments could someday use to run financial applications from anywhere in the world. And while the Ethereum blockchain's native token, Ether, currently has a commanding lead in the competition, with a $26.3 billion market capitalization that's 13 times the size of Udash, the smaller challenger might be poised to win a growing share of the fast-moving industry. The recent catalyst for Udash price rally appears to be Cardano's progress toward a key upgrade of its network known as Shelly, scheduled to go live over the next month. Cardano launched its token in early 2017, but that version was federated, or managed more centrally. The Shelly upgrade aims to make Cardano 50 to 100 times more decentralized than other large blockchain networks, according to the supporting foundation's website, using proof-of-stake blockchain technology that is seen as more efficient than the electricity-hungry proof-of-work system used by the Bitcoin blockchain. A testnet of Shelly launched on June 9. Ethereum is moving to shift to proof-of-stake from proof-of-work as part of a 2.0 upgrade, but backers of that project have only stipulated that the transition will begin by September and then be phased in over stages. We believe Cardano's recent price appreciation is partially related to the anticipation of their mainnet launch, Guy Hirsch, managing director of multi-asset brokerage eToro, told CoinDesk. If the team working on the project fails to deliver what was proposed, then the market might react negatively. Cryptocurrencies tied to staking have been among the hottest this year in digital asset markets, partly because holders can earn rewards akin to interest, especially prized as the world's biggest central banks have slashed interest rates to accommodate economies racked by the coronavirus and related lockdowns. Another staking token, Tezos, XTZ, is up 93% this year. According to the Cardano website, investors can receive 10% a year in delegation rewards from staking ADA. Some cryptocurrency investors see the Shelly upgrade as little more than an opportunity for Cardano to hype itself. The giant U.S. digital asset exchange Coinbase already offers Tezos staking, and Custodian Staked lists 8 different digital assets allowing users to earn a return simply for holding them. I am personally short on ADA currently, Mustafa Al-Mashida, vice president of digital liquidity firm Secure Digital Markets, said via a Telegram chat. We do trade it for our clients. I think the Shelly upgrade will be another case of, buy the rumor, sell the news. Cardano's charismatic leader is Charles Hoskinson, who marshals the project as co-founder of his own 5-year-old engineering company, IOHK. And he might be perfectly equipped, based on his prior work experience, to take on Ethereum. He was an Ethereum co-founder before leaving in 2014. Hoskinson posted a roadmap on Twitter showing that full staking via the Shelly upgrade would be available by August 18. Cardano has very high potential in my opinion, Michael Gord, CEO of GDA Capital, a firm that trades various cryptocurrencies, including ADA and Ether. In the race to build a computing platform for applications designed to run on decentralized networks, he said, it's the only blockchain that is challenging Ether as the potential number one operating layer. Yet, in crucial ways, Cardano lags far behind Ethereum. Cardano doesn't plan to add smart contract programming, the key to building decentralized applications, known as dApps, until a subsequent phase. Ethereum already offers the functionality. According to the website DeFiPulse, 19 of the top 20 dApps by volume are using the Ethereum network, and the remaining dApp is on the Lightning network, which is associated with the Bitcoin blockchain. Among open-source software developers, Ethereum garners far more attention. Some 28 people are active on the IOHK GitHub, where the Cardano node and wallet open-source software is hosted, versus 61 people working on open-source repositories on Ethereum's GitHub. In digital asset markets, Cardano registers little more than a blip compared with the Ethereum network, already used as the backbone for dollar-linked stablecoins like Tether and USDC, as well as early-generation decentralized exchanges and lending platforms. Ether's liquidity at $594 million per day is about 10 times Udash, according to Messari, a provider of data on digital assets. Replicating Ethereum's developer footprint and network effects is nearly impossible for a smaller network today, and probably value destructive for the crypto ecosystem. Lex Sokolin, global fintech co-head at the Ethereum-focused software engineering firm Consensus, told CoinDesk in an email. One thing the competing projects have in common is high-profile leaders. Where Ethereum has Vitalik Buterin, Hoskinson provides the charismatic presence for Cardano's development. He frequently conducts live Ask Me Anything sessions on YouTube, interspersing discussions of the Shelley release with musings on meditation, fasting and picking radishes in his garden. He can be brusque with questionnaires he feels are unprepared or less informed. In a surprise AMA session on June 9, Hoskinson told one community member, "I will answer your questions if your questions are new, but if your questions have been answered previously, you need to pay attention." Admirers say he's merely doing his job of taking Cardano to the next level. Thanks to Charles Hoskinson, Cardano enjoys some of the same audience and hype that has carried Ethereum into the upper echelons of the industry, said Edward Delian Hickman, founder of Anatha, a startup building its own blockchain. In a recent interview with Hoskinson, he acknowledged how little control he has over the market for ADA tokens. "Sometimes the market just values something differently, and you just accept that as reality, because you can't really fight the market, and then you just do your best to try to work within the constraints of a broken system," Hoskinson told CoinDesk in a recent interview. Traders seem more willing than ever to take a view on Cardano as a cryptocurrency. And gains this year in the ADA token may represent a bet on the ability of network's leader to execute the project roadmap. Trend: Bitcoin fell to three-week lows below $9,000 earlier on Monday and may be looking at further losses as technical charts have turned bearish. To start with, the 14-day relative strength index has dipped below 50, confirming a head and shoulders breakdown, a bearish reversal pattern. Meanwhile, the MACD histogram, an indicator used to identify trend changes and trend strength, is beginning to produce deeper bars below the zero line. That implies that the downward move may be about to pick up the pace. On the downside, key support is located at $8,630, May 25th low. A breach there would invalidate the bullish higher lows pattern and may invite stronger chart-driven selling. Below $8,630, the focus would shift to the 200-day moving average (MA) at $8,000. So far, however, downside has been restricted near $8,900. At press time, the cryptocurrency is trading near $9,089, representing a 2.7% decline on the day. While the daily chart indicators are biased bearish, the longer duration charts are still calling a move to the higher side. Notably, the weekly chart RSI is hovering in bullish territory above 50 and the 10-week MA is still trending north in favor of the bulls. As a result, a fresh move to $10,000 cannot be ruled out. The probability of a move higher would improve if prices hold above $9,000 through the U.S. trading hours. The options market is also suggesting losses may be limited, with the put-call volume ratio having risen to three-month highs. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.